Welcome, everybody. We're back to the Gaming Guys podcast, and this is kind of like, I don't know if we want to call it an emergency episode, but a bonus episode to go over the state of the game that was released by Connor and the Overlords over at Star Trek Fleet Command. And our good friend Alex here, well, let's just say he's been intimately familiar with the inner workings of SCFC for many, many years. So he's going to provide some added context, which I think will be good.
I will do my best. I actually
you will do exactly what you will time. Do. I think it's going to be good. You've got receipts, so
sort of. I got some inner diggings into, you know, to some of the stuff they've been doing. That some is new, some is old. Some might be good.
We've definitely, like, in previous episodes of my State of the Game podcast with them and stuff, we've had game design on, we've had live ops on, we've had community managers on, and they've talked about things. One, game design's talked about their older foundation of code not being very malleable, not being easy to work with. We've had them bring up the infamous spaghetti terminology before. And then obviously they've made a lot of recent moves with moving up to Unity 6, which I think is good. And I'm just curious to see all the pieces you're going to talk about. So where would you like to start with first?
I mean, first of all, maybe, you know, I don't know who's listening to all of this. Maybe there's some people who don't know me and are like, who is this guy? What authority does he have to talk about things? Right?
Yes.
I'm a software engineer in gaming. Before gaming, I did voice over IP. Lots of networking code. I currently work on a very, you know, heavily used game engine on the foundation stuff. So memory subsystems, performance.
Frostbite.
Frostbite. Performance-focused things. I've also done a lot of reverse engineering of games. So, you know, digging into the inner workings of various games over the years. So I have, you know, so I'm a little familiar with, like, the, you know, performance improvements. Fixes and, like, you know, sometimes jumping in and helping other teams, like, hey, we might need some help here, or like, this needs to be improved and whatnot. So, you know, kind of a bit of background about me and why I think, you know, I might know a thing or two.
For those who are listening, we did an episode where we talked about modding and gaming, which is part of how you got some of your start and everything. And there's a lot of good episodes if y'all haven't heard. If y'all saw the clickbait and like, oh, they're revealing the inner workings of STFC, and this is the first time you've heard, definitely check out the other episodes myself and Alex have done. I think they're really good.
Yeah, I agree. No, I just wanted to, like, you know, give a little bit of context of, like, why am I, you know, might have some things to say that might not be completely, you know, out of line and dumb.
Well, where would you like to start? I mean, is there a specific part in the article you just want to jump to, or where are you at?
So I was like primarily focusing on the technical performance and client stability part.
Okay, good. Let's jump forward to that. And for those listening, the article itself can be found on the website, StarTrekFleetCommand.com, so y'all can read along.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the part that I kind of have like the most knowledge in, and, you know, a lot of the other stuff
and that makes
like
sense.
Game design of newer things that I'm like, I don't know. Who knows, you know?
No, that's fine. It makes sense. And heck, I praise them for moving to Unity 6, which is where that part of the article starts. And one of the reasons is because I had reached out to a couple of the other friends I've met in gaming who work in the mobile side, and they were talking about just the tool aspect of Unity 6 and how it provides more options long terms for them. So I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely, you know, improvements in Unity 6, you know, newer engine. There's more tools to work with. Also, Unity 6 is like the big, you know, big part of that is like the whole render pipeline has been changed. Is like the universal render pipeline, I think, is like kind of the new thing, which is like supposed to like scale across various things better than the previous stuff. And obviously, you know, there's also kind of a requirement for them to like move up because, you know, older Unity versions go out of support.
Yeah.
And then the stores say like, well, you can't update your thing anymore. It's outdated. Or like they use outdated things, or like they don't comply with like the packaging requirements for the store. So
there's But also to be clear, they had other options. Like they didn't have to go all the way to Unity 6. They actually had I think it was 23 that was available to them that they decided, no, we're just gonna go all the way to 6.
Yeah, but I think that one is also going out of support like mid next year too.
Yeah, so, it didn't really make sense
to use that as a stopgap. So it's kind of like them like kind of, you know, having like newer technologies available for the future, but also like, hey, they kind of had to because, yeah, you know, otherwise they would not, wouldn't be allowed to update their app anymore.
Well, just to add a little bit of context of why I said that about 2023 is they actually just did a 1 year kind of like emergency fix this time when they went to 2021, because they could have gone further then. Because if you remember, they just did, I think it was 16 months ago from right now, they went to the previous Unity that we were on. So they knew that that only had about a year left and still went to it anyway. So that was a little bit of that surprise for me that they made that jump to 6 just based on what they had did before.
I just think from like future perspective, this was probably the thing that made the most sense.
Would you call it the right move? I'm obviously biased. I think it's a very good move, but would you say it was the right move?
Yeah, no, I think that was the right move for them having like a supported engine to work with going forward into the future.
Well, when you put it like that,
you know, that's kind of sometimes how things unfortunately have to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes changes happening outside your control where you're just like forced to update your tool chain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes console manufacturers are, you know, release new SDK versions and suddenly you have to change a bunch of things. And it's like, oh, you can't really backport those to like old engine versions anymore. So you're kind of forced to upgrade. So stuff like that happens, you know, there's sometimes more of a force. But I think it was a combination of like them wanting to have like more tools available to them in the future, and also a requirement for them to be on a supported version, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, not all these changes come with good things, and some are like sort of maybe self-inflicted. So I they were talking about the whole lag thing and like how they've, you know, did a lot of server-side improvements, which we from the outside can't really like look into, right? We can only see the effect that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
That, from what I've heard, was not the most successful. And I think I have maintained for a long time that that also was kind of probably the wrong place to look.
You've always, I know in our, we've always talked about it more of a client side issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a combination. I mean, certain things are probably server-related.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the stuff where, like, the events lag or something like that. Those would
be, like, the login servers. That's something that's outside of our control, or at least on, it's not on the client side.
Well, like, if an event takes, like, minutes to, like, update your score, that's, your client is
minutes.
Completely...
God, you've not played Star Trek Fleet Command in a while. Minutes. Cute.
Whatever the case may be, if that takes a while, obviously your client doesn't have anything to do with that. It just kind of displays what the server's telling it.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be server-related things, and I'm not sure. It sounds like there have not been many improvements in that area.
But in the article, they do start talking about the client side of things. Which, and just to be clear for those listening, because I know not everybody has like a tech background. I certainly am not on the level of engineer that Alex is here. But this isn't putting the blame on like, oh, you've got an iPhone and it's your fault. It's not what client side means.
No, it just means the code that is running on your device has issues from a performance perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you go, you know, low spec enough, eventually the hardware becomes a problem and a bit of an issue, a bit of a, you know, hindrance. But you can also write incredibly bad things and incredibly inefficient things. And sometimes it's also very easy to be like, in testing, this works fine. And then it scales bad. and suddenly in production it blows up.
I can hear the smile in your voice, so elaborate.
Sometimes, Microsoft has done similar things in Windows. You have, certain algorithms that scale like O n squared, n being like the number of input. Obviously, mm-hmm. if you have a square scaling in time, like low amounts, that works fine. But, it scales like exponentially up in time. So suddenly when like there's a lot more, then suddenly things just like go up in smoke.
So how about where we're, so let's just give people a reference frame. In the third paragraph of this article, they're talking about client stability, particularly iOS having a little bit more degradation compared to Android. But when they're talking about improving the client side, so improving the actual, EXE you have installed on your computer, or in this case, the actual program or app on your phone, what are they looking at actually improving, and what does that look like? And what have been some of the problems in the past that have caused a lot of issues that players have experienced?
So historically on iOS especially, there have been a lot of forced app closures due to running out of memory. That does not necessarily mean there's a memory leak. That just could just mean bad memory management.
But there are memory leaks, sir. There are memory leaks.
Could be. Could also just be there's things that are like not as optimized from, a memory management perspective. Mm-hmm. It does not necessarily mean they completely leak. It just means, it'll just grow up a little bit and then eventually might get freed if you have like infinite amounts of memory,
Mm-hmm.
Specifically when they're talking about the client stability in this case, that does not mean like bug free. That just means crash rate. How many of, you open the app until you close the app, what's the percentage of sessions in that range from opening the app to you actively closing it are crashing, but the app force closes? That is what that means.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure is like or has been the primary issue with SDFC. I think there's more like, soft locks and soft breakages within the app where people are forced to like, close the app and restart it.
Yeah, because I will say this, and again, this isn't to like turn this into a STFC is lying show. That's not what this has meant at all. But we had a live stream on Wednesday when a lot of this broke, and at the time that I was doing that stream, and again, these numbers are small, so we can call it anecdotal, but we had about 400 people live on the stream, a lot of those iOS users, and a significant portion of them were describing the type of crashes that they have to deal with, where maybe the app itself didn't crash, but they had to force restart it. And so a lot of people were kind of raising their eyebrows at 97.7%, actually making the case that it should be much lower. What you're saying is what they're counting is only when the app itself force closes, not if you close it.
That is correct. That is what that terms mean. So those numbers seem reasonable. I would not say those are necessarily wrong. Obviously, I don't have insights into their metrics, but those would be reasonable numbers in the Danish, which it's like maybe like they could have maybe explained it a little better in the article.
Yeah, because again, I'm not near as knowledgeable as you, and I took it as, well, that means only 2.3% of iOS players are having issues that are bad enough that are causing restarts. And I'm just sitting here like, I'm confident that the number of players is higher than that,
Yeah. And I think that a lot of, players might have taken that the wrong way when, the intent of that was really just to show like, hey, our app doesn't crash that much, like actively crash, which is a good thing. Obviously, you're forced to restart yourself. That's ideal.
But that's a separate issue and something that doesn't get worked on, but not what they're talking about.
Yeah. It just means like, hey, our app is sort of stable from a crash rate perspective, like the, you know, some call it, some measure it in crash rate. There's also a different metric that, that some other companies use. That's the mean time between failure, measured in hours. Like how many hours of gameplay result in a crash?
Yeah. Well, so let's jump to the next part of that same area, because I'm sure you have a lot to add context-wise here, because then they get into the infamous word of lag, and they say they've made a breakthrough. What does that mean, Alex? Help us understand.
Well, a breakthrough just means like, oh, hey, someone finally figured out what is causing all the lag. That is what
but
that
the question
would
is,
mean.
Are these things that they've had brought to their attention in the past, or is it literally just... Oh, we had a eureka moment.
Well, you know, if you just read that sentence without the additional context of the rest of the article, it could just mean, oh, they found something that, you know, nobody mm-hmm. knew before. A little foreshadowing if you read the rest of that, you know, whole section. It becomes obvious that this is something that, especially I, have been talking about for 5 years. That, you know, things being a little less ideal. And there's also a bit of a negative that, you know, sometimes you have to report. And I think, when did that Unity 6 update come in?
I guess I should have it handy. I think it's about 2 to 3 months ago now. I think we're between 60 and 90 days from when it actually okay. got rolled out.
I don't quite know when that happened, but I took a little bit, you know, bit of a look inside and took like a profile. So I measured like what is happening while running the app and what is taking up the most CPU time. And it looks like they did a little weird thing, which used to not be the case. They added a new thing called the anti-spam input module, which seems to be trying to like prevent repeated mouse clicks on certain actions. That in itself sounds pretty good, but when you actually look at how that works, it currently takes up 7% of the entire CPU time spent during a render frame. That
right,
is not
number
good.
One, I just checked, it was September, so yeah, and that 60-90-day window I was talking about, and two, break down what you're saying in an even more layman way.
So obviously, to render a frame, you know, your app renders like, what, 60 frames a second, probably, I think, on mobile devices, something mm-hmm. along those lines. You need to do a CPU work. Something has to, like, you know, tell what needs to be drawn, update all the things, you know, move, you know, this object somewhere else because ships are moving on the screen.
Correct.
And you want that to be as low as possible, ideally. Because the more CPU you have available, the less battery drain, the less heat, and you can do more things if you don't spend CPU time on things that are not important.
So you're saying the new update has a new feature that takes a 7% chunk right off the bat?
Yeah.
But that doesn't sound ideal.
That seems quite the high number, and that would be something that If we are doing performance profiling at work and we see something like this, we would be like, we have to address that kind of deal. Because that's quite a bit of, you know, it's 7% of the entire CPU usage of the app.
In mind, just for those listening, like, there's no user case where STFC can have 100% of the CPU anyway. Like, your operating system has things running in the background. There's stuff going on. So 7% means more than there's 93% left.
Yeah, it just feels like this should not be the case. I could get into technical details of what they're doing. So they're technically inclined and know about rendering and graphics and whatnot. They're doing ray casting for every mouse input. That includes mouse move all the time. Every frame across the entire graphics pipeline.
I know one thing you and I had talked about in the past was things like the inventory. Everything had to be recalled anytime there was an action and we were sending information to the server. It would be pulling everything individually. And then when you bring up things like actually tracking every individual mouse movement, is there an issue where they're gathering too much information, or is this an inefficiency thing? What exactly does it mean?
So this just means that spending a lot of time trying to like reduce the click rate that you can do on certain items, so you can't spam click some buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Which this should be solved in a better way. I don't quite know off the top of my head what the best way in Unity would be. I can tell you this is not it. Don't spend 7% of your CPU time doing raycasting on the screen just to filter out mouse input.
So when you hear the word breakthrough and then you went to look at it, your first reaction was, this is a very inefficient way to fix the problem.
Well, this is not their breakthrough that they had. This is just something I noticed. So they're like, okay. we're focusing on client performance. And then I see stuff like this happening, which used to not exist. And it's like, someone made something worse at some point. So, you know.
Well, let's hit to the next step then. Let's keep going here in the article. They're talking about optimizing their code, and they said they've not cracked the core problems that are a major issue. And then you had talked to me that you had some receipts that you really wanted to bring up. Is this a good opportunity to mention some of those?
Well, the rest of that section basically talks about, you know, the server client communication and how a lot of the information that the server is sending, the client gets overwhelmed with.
Mm-hmm.
And they just found this because they did not have telemetry in the live clients earlier for some reason. I think that's a little disingenuous in a way, because if you have ever done any kind of game multiplayer programming, the way that they have been doing the communication is just fundamentally inefficient and wasteful.
Okay, can you elaborate on that without getting too technical?
Yes. So if you move your ship in a system, you click in the middle somewhere and click go. You would think the only thing that the server has to tell your client is, hey, this ship is now moving to this spot, right? You would think. It's just basically two coordinates because it's a two-dimensional plane. Click, you go. So you get from the server, hey, this ship is now moving now.
Something tells me that's not the case.
As it is not quite the case, no. As it turns out, they don't have this fine-grained control over, like, hey, this ship is now moving there. They only have, like, hey, this chip changed. What that means is they have to send not just where the ship is currently moving, but also what it's targeting. What is the idea of the ship? What is the hull? What are the attributes? What are the active buffs? When was this last updated? And a whole bunch of Boolean flags of like, is this currently cloaked? Is it supported? Is it debuffed? Is the war shield active? Is it Armada supported? Is weapon damage activated? Is it detected? Does it have a system-wide buff? Is it ISO damage boosted? Does it have a Mirror Universe timer? Is it static? Is it charged? So just if you click and go, all of these values, they're only a small part of the actual values that are sent every time you click go. They don't just send where the ship is now going. They send all this information every single time a ship changes course, starts an attack, goes out of an attack, activates cloak, gets debuffed, gets supported. All of these actions. Every single time they send this whole list of everything.
So
the
is this
state of the ship? Not just,
is this a part of the reasoning why there's so much lag when it comes to initiating battles, particularly PvP? There's a lot of lag. Could this be a reason why?
Yes, because every single time like a ship engages in combat, this whole gigantic mess of data gets sent. Every single time, something changes. And we're talking about, like, this is around 11 kilobytes of JSON data per ship update.
So what's the fix there? Because they do talk about, in this part of the article, pruning the queue of the client to make redundant messages get sifted out, seeing those. Is that part of what you're talking about here, or are they not even addressing that?
So the pruning part is just, hey, we have already had a previous update for the ship. We can just discard that when a new one arrives. This, in my experience, will probably have a very limited effect and not really change much. Like, I wouldn't expect
what you're saying
you
is
to see much
the new system is basically just doing a scan and only updating things that have updated and retaining the previous information.
No, basically, you get all these ship updates. So if it happens that you got an update for one ship, or like a hostile or player ship, and there was another one, but your client didn't process the previous one that you already got, and there was a new one, they're just deleting the previous one and just keeping the latest one. In my experience, from what I've done with SDFC, this is not that often the case. So I don't really expect this to have that much of an impact. I think like the part of like, oh, we just had this breakthrough is, it stings a little bit, because like, if first of all, nobody like who actually is concerned with performance and, you know, network programming and like multiplayer programming, whatever, implement something like this the way they did. And they have been told many, many times in the past. And they now just be like, hey, we just figured this out. It's like good on you, I guess. But also like, this should have A, been obvious, and B, like someone should have taken a look and then been like, oh, maybe we should like optimize this.
Mm-hmm.
When people mentioned it. And there's just a lot of stuff that's completely like unnecessary to be sent in this way. And it's also sent in like one of the most inefficient ways. The way this works is they have a WebSocket connection. They send down a string. Then they have to parse this string into an object. That object contains another string, which they also have to parse. And that object also contains yet another string, which they also have to parse to actually get this data into an object that they can use in the client. So there's three JSON parsing steps for every update. And any work you have to do comes with a cost. That being CPU time spent. So parsing things three times just to get a single update that is also not like the cheapest way to parse. JSON is not the most efficient thing to parse. Parsing means taking the string and then pulling out all the
breaking down the relevant information. Yeah.
It just isn't the most efficient. So doing that three times for every update is just wasting a lot of that precious CPU time, basically doing nothing. And that is just highly unfortunate. And I wish they would have just been like, they should have seen and noticed this earlier.
Well, to your point, you and others have brought up these type of conversations in the past. Right?
We have indeed.
I mean, I know you've talked to me about it, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. But I'm very confident you've had these conversations.
Oh, yeah. I've told them privately. I've complained about this publicly. So countless of times, I think, at this point. And I guess nice that they finally be like, hey, maybe we should do this?
Like, I'll say this.
But it's unfortunately quite late.
Because, again, I don't want a word, like, I don't want this episode to come across as like, oh, we're here to tell you how STFC sucks and this article is wrong. But I will say that the way they worded it, for me, comes across as, especially when you use things like breakthrough and you're showing off these very nice numbers of 99.9% and stuff. It's kind of like what you said before. It comes across as disingenuous because it counters so many people's experience. And number one, I feel like they could have gone into a deeper conversation without being technical of what some of those issues are. And then just, again, well, you have been around so many communities. You've been around mine. You were on Ultimate DJ's podcast for a long time. So you've talked about these type of things. And then for those of us who have been around, who do know what's going on, to see them say, oh, we figured it out, or we figured this out. It's like, well, you've been told this for a very long time. So why have to take it until now to address it? And then for you to come back on the back of it, say the way they're addressing it is incredibly inefficient.
Explain the current state.
Yeah.
Where they're going. I mean, you know, they're three part like areas to address this, like pruning the queue of the client can see the messages are redundant. Again, I see limited impact from this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there will be much noticeable difference from most players. There might be like measurable differences here and there, but I don't think there will be like the experience will not feel good after that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, that's good, but also doesn't really move the needle much. And the addressing the current state of what I explained and how it's been for since the game launched with this whole absolutely inefficient, horrendous way of telling the client that this ship is now moving somewhere is what they are talking about when they talk about optimize the message format so it's more efficient to send. We will have to see where they're going with this and what they're actually doing. I would like them to replace this entire format, just remove it and implement something different and not just optimize the format.
And admittedly, you've acknowledged you don't know what that immediate answer is. That would take time to figure out.
But we have to see what they deploy. They haven't said what exactly they're going to do. I would like them to see completely just demolish this whole like JSON thing over WebSocket thing. And just send, because they're using protobuf, which is a binary format, much, much faster to like, you know, parse, serialize, and no, not really parsing in protobuf's case, but turning the thing you receive from the network into a usable object in your code is much faster mm-hmm. with protobuf than it is with JSON. So
that's a good thing, right?
If they're going that route, which I think, considering they're already using that for everything else, they should. If by optimizing the message format, they mean doing that, that would be good. That will have
a very noticeable
impact.
Again, just because I know we have a lot of people who listen who aren't very tech savvy. You're saying part one of what they had in their three parts probably isn't going to do much for people, but part two, depending on how they do it, could actually show a pretty a noticeable improvement. Let's just put it that way. If they do it the way you're saying.
Yes. That would also mean not sending any of this redundant information. It's not just the first part talks about messages are redundant. That is the entire thing being redundant. But there's also a lot of redundant information within those messages. And I hope that they move to a thing that is A, quicker to parse, / deserialize as in protobuf, which is a binary form. It's way more compact. That also means less data being sent to your client. So, you know, people playing this game on mobile out and about, your data usage will drop. Yay. Also, for Scopely, their cost for their servers will drop because they're sending less data out of their servers. And it will be just much faster.
And again, that's assuming they do it the way you're describing.
Yeah, I would have liked to like see a little more information on that topic.
I mean, I could contact a couple people and see if I can find out for you.
No, it's in the article. I mean, you know, they could have maybe.
So you're saying you would have liked the article to have a little bit more transparency into what actually is being done.
Yeah, I think that would have been nice. And I don't think like there's really any. I mean, there have been companies in the past that really just went out and be like, hey, this is how it's been. And this is what we're going to do. Like actually showing like full on statistics and like what they expect. They could have said like, hey, we're currently sending this much data per update. With this optimization that we're planning, we are targeting, you know, getting that down to X number or whatever, roughly, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Because it's a little vague, and based on history, I don't really have that much faith in Scopely doing the right thing now, but...
Well, let me ask you this. The way that they word the second point, does that make you believe... I'm sorry, let me rephrase. The way they... started off with point number one in terms of like their 3 points, this is how we're going to fix it. Does that make you believe that point number two isn't how you're describing it? There's going to be another way that's probably less efficient. They're going to try to get it done.
Maybe part two is just like a quick and easy, hey, we're going to remove some things that we actually don't need. So that makes that whole thing a little easier to deal with. And then the part three comes in where they migrate our client-server communication away from the current system to a more robust and modern solution.
And what about point three here, the migrating the client-server comms from their current system? One, what is the current system, if you know it? And two, what would that migration do? Would it help? Who would it help? How's that work?
Well, that is the big question. So it could... Point two could mean is they're not actually replacing the format with something, and point three is that they're actually going to replace it, which I hope it is. I don't quite know, like, it could also mean a different thing, because currently their communication works over WebSocket. Not actually, it's just a TCP socket where you can send data across.
Mm-hmm.
That could mean that they're replacing that. It's a little vague. Again, you know, yes, there's some detail there, but it's also like a lot missing from, you know, me as a technical person. It's like, okay, what are you actually trying to do here? Just have like a quick outline for like people, and then being like, hey, here's a technical deep dive in what we're doing. Why not?
Nice. Well, they said that we'll see everything that they've discussed so far, hopefully by March, which is quite a bit. I mean, it's 2 full quarters. So we're going to have a while before
That's
we can actually
time.
See what they've done.
That's
which
a lot of
at
time.
The same time, and look, for CFC players who are always mad, let me be honest. That length of time makes me hopeful that there's a substantial type of change coming, not just like a Band-Aid fix that they said, hey, here we've identified this problem, we're rolling out something in 3 weeks. You know, that would make me feel more Band-Aid. If you're actually dedicating months of time and man hours, that would, to me, insinuate that a more robust option is being explored. And maybe I'm just being optimistic there, but that's a long timetable.
It is quite a long timetable. And I'm hoping they're actually doing, you know, the right thing, the correct thing to do here. But, you know, you're quite late to the party here.
Yeah.
Scopely. Well,
the irony is we're recording this the day before the 7-year anniversary, and this is not a new issue. So.
No, it is not.
Better late than never, right?
Better late than never, yeah.
I mean, a big issue is some of the new features. Because, again, for those listening, Alex quit the game years ago. One of the big new features is it's called the Veil. And I know you've looked at it a little bit. But, I mean, it's a region-based set where you have players from about 20 different servers for each Veil. interacting with each other. And having these type of just bogged down data streams getting sent is going to cause more and more people to experience that lag and experience those battle problems unless they find a way to optimize this.
Yeah, for sure.
But at least this podcast gives people more context of what all this actually means versus just 3 points and a we got a breakthrough.
Yeah, I mean, again, it maybe I'm too hopeful on point two with optimizing the message from it, where I'm like, they should just replace the entire thing with something that's more efficient.
But see, that's where the timetable made me optimistic. Because when I read through the first time, one, I got stuck on the 97.7%. I'm glad you added context on that, because how I was seeing was incorrect. So it was good to see that. But the other part was, as a player, obviously it's frustrating to be told, yeah, this is going to take possibly 6 months to fix. But the reason I look at it from a positive lens is, if they're going to dedicate that amount of time, that to me should indicate a what I would call an actual fix, not a Band-Aid fix, like an actual, we're going to take this part that we've identified as a serious issue, and we're going to completely overhaul it to get to where we need to be. Now, maybe that's just me being overly hopeful. Also means that they don't do that by March, and we find out by March they just Band-Aided it, you and I can roast them. But I'm hopeful because the timetable.
I will definitely come back whenever this thing that, point two, I guess, is what they're going to do in Q4. I'll take a peek in what they did. And I'm looking forward to, I guess, sometime in Q1 to see what their, final solution.
And to be clear, when I'm saying this is a long timetable, this didn't start when they wrote the article, right? This all started back when they did the Unity update a couple months ago. So this has all been stuff that's a work in progress. So if they're still saying we need through March to finish rolling it out, I want to be hopeful. I don't want to be the negative Nancy. You know what I mean?
Sometimes, these things do take more time than it might appear. That's fine. And I'm not even mad that it's not like, oh, we need 6 months to fix this. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh, you just realized this in the seventh year after you've been told for 5+ years.
Of the only thing that I can think of currently with that
will is just terrible.
I agree. The only thing I can think of there is, up to this point, the management, the people in charge have just said, Band-Aid it. And they've known that that's a big issue, but the easier thing for them to do was to address server-side stuff and just keep moving forward. That's the argument I'm making to myself, right? And that they aren't truly so forgetful or ignorant or purposely obtuse that they didn't listen to you or other people who have brought this up, because you're not the only one. I mean, about a Star Trek game, there's a ton of people in this field. It's not like there's just one person yelling at them. There's a lot of people who know this.
I think I was just the loudest voice, or the voice that's the most people listening to that topic, I guess. Good on them for hopefully. I mean, those steps, if they actually entail, just ripping out this entire mess of completely redundant information every time you just move a ship. Again, that should be 2 coordinates. 8 bytes.
Not, 8 kilobytes.
Yeah. Well, 8 bytes is, there needs to be more because you need to know which ship you have to move. But, you could probably do that. And if you really highly optimize it and 12 bytes, 16 bytes, something like that, could be doable. Instead of 8,000 bytes. If that entails all those things, then yes, this will have a massive impact on what the game will feel like in the system. We're not talking about clicking through events and stores and whatnot, because that's not what this means.
Yeah. Well,
So
for those who listen, I hope
we're not just here to like say bad Scopely. It's just
not at all. I mean, I'll call them out when things are bad, but at the same time, I think it's always good to be hopeful. See, heck, we're doing this on the day that my computer died, but I'm still being positive. It's always good to be positive.
Yeah, and you know, there's something hopefully to look forward to for the players playing STFC. That, you know, Scopely has finally realized how you should do modern, you know, communication for a real-time game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, took you only 7 years, but, you know, that's good, I guess.
Hey, better late than never, man.
Better late than never, I guess. And I will take a look at everything you do, Scopely. I will know.
Well,
I will know exactly what you changed. And
everybody else, stay sticking around so you can get an update, and we can keep you informed on what's actually going on.
Yeah, and well, I hope some of this context was valuable, helpful.
I think it was. Bit nerdy.
I was talking about receipts. I was just like explaining, you know, what they're currently doing and how wasteful that is. So, and Scopely, you should, you know, I don't know, probably nobody from Scopely listens to this, but they should look at this whole like anti-spam input modules.
Oh, good. This episode of the podcast, I'm actually going to make public. So you will listen to it on the website, but I'm going to make it available to everybody. And I will send it to a couple of game design who don't work in this area, but who I am curious to hear their thoughts. So. We'll see.
Yeah, sounds good. So I guess it was helpful that I provided some context on what my authority on the topic might be.
Well, I appreciate you, buddy.
Sounds good.